It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. On December 9th, 1982, the Jarvik heart was implanted. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. An imminent plan, though, now from the Trump administration could change carbon emission standards for more than 300 coal-fired plants across the country. The president could officially propose the change this week. The plan lets states set pollution emission regulations for coal-fired plants. The move changes the trajectory for environmental regulation of burning coal, and it could put 12 times the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere as the standard under the Obama administration. But does it really matter? Energy companies and their large institutional customers have rapidly turned toward green energy. Will the new federal standards reverse that, or will they have little effect on that trajectory? Juliette Eilprin is a senior national affairs correspondent at The Washington Post, and she's going to take us through this right now. Juliette, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much.
So give us a general rundown of this federal proposal. How does this compare with what Obama put in place?
It's a real significant departure. What it's essentially saying, the Obama-era plan, which came out 3 years ago, aimed to switch the kind of fuel that we use to generate electricity and provided a number of incentives so that, for example, utilities across the country would shut down these aging coal plants and instead switch to whether it's natural gas, renewable energy, or energy efficiency to reduce emissions across the country over time. What the Trump proposal, which will come out as soon as tomorrow, will do is to essentially tell utilities you can make your existing coal plants more efficient, but we're not going to require this kind of fuel switching. And so as a result, the kind of reductions in carbon dioxide and other pollutants over time are a fraction of what they would have achieved under what was called the Clean Power Plan under Barack Obama.
Now, do you really think that that's going to happen, or do these Trump rules have such an effect that power plants invested in cleaner energy and they're not going backwards right now?
So I think there's no question that the majority of utilities are shifting to, for example, natural gas and renewables. And in fact, you know, for example, we saw in the United States in 2017, even under President Trump, emissions from the energy sector declined just slightly by 0.5%, whereas, for example, globally, emissions went up by 1.4%. So we are, and that was because of rapid deployment of renewable energy more than anticipated and a reduction in energy demand. So you're right that, you know, for these long-term investments, people are not necessarily building new coal plants, but certainly a number of utilities, the ones that have, for example, the most coal-fired plants in their energy mix, will have an added incentive to keep those plants running for longer because they can go on for decades, and some of them are, you know, 30, 40 years old right now.
So environmentally, what would the impact be for such a move?
The real impact is not that, for example, absolute emissions from the energy sector are going to go up in the United States, but they're not going to be cut as rapidly as they would. So to put it in perspective, under the Obama-era plan, it was projected that emissions would decline 19% below the business-as-usual scenario. Under the Trump plan, the Environmental Protection Agency is projecting that those emissions will decline between 0.7% and 1.5% compared to 2005 and by the end of the next decade. So, you know, that is a significant difference in the rapidity of the emissions cut.
We want emissions to cut. We are clear that coal-fired power plants do contribute to carbon dioxide pollution.
Yes, there's broad scientific consensus that that's one of the primary drivers of climate change, the burning of fossil fuels such as coal. And in fact, the electricity sector, the power sector, is just behind transportation as the biggest contributor of greenhouse gas emissions linked to climate change in the United States.
So where's this demand coming from? Are states actually asking for this?
Well, there were more than two dozen states who successfully challenged the Obama-era rule in federal court, and the Supreme Court stayed that rule, blocked that rule from taking effect on the grounds that there were legitimate questions raised about whether what the EPA did under Obama were legal. So particularly in Republican-controlled states, there's significant opposition to this rule. There's opposition among utility industry players who, again, have not moved as quickly to natural gas, to renewable energy. So there was certainly demand from both industry and conservative states to change this rule, and that combined with the outlook of the new administration has contributed to the plan that we're seeing now.
So my question here is, what if there is a coal-loving state that is right next to a renewable-loving state, and the renewable-loving state doesn't particularly like getting the pollution from the state right next door? There have been lawsuits before. What do you see in the future?
Right. Well, there are certainly, you know, there are, first of all, existing federal rules about kind of air pollution that travels from one state to another. That's an issue, as well as you're right that there has been litigation, you know, over this whole issue, and including even young people suing the federal government and suing utilities and saying that, you know, look, you're being irresponsible to us by emitting greenhouse gases that are linked to climate change. That said, certainly that latter kind of argument has not been gaining traction in the court. It seems that people had thought a couple years ago that there might be a way to kind of sue the government into cutting greenhouse gas emissions. And at least right now, that is not working. And so, we'll just have to see how this plays out. But I think what's clear is, in fact, it might be public pressure and market pressure that affects these power companies more than, you know, say, the federal government, if, in fact, this plan is enacted.
Market pressure, I want to end with that. Large organizations and corporations are kind of driving renewables, aren't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a huge, I mean, first of all, there are many places where certainly both natural gas and renewables are cheaper than, you know, for example, starting up a coal-fired plant. So I think there are both those economic pressures. There's pressures from customers who say, as you mentioned, you know, we want green energy to power our home. And so for a number of reasons, and I was, you know, checking recently with someone who does some of these deals, who said even everything you see coming out of the administration, you know, he's continuing to cut deal after deal for renewable power. And so, you know, there's clearly a significant demand as people look to the long term of what makes the most sense.
Juliet Eilprin, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Juliet is a writer for The Washington Post. She's a senior national affairs correspondent there, and she's been talking with us about renewable energy. There's a federal rules change for coal-fired power plants that the Trump administration has been planning on for a while. It reverses regulations under President Obama, and it lets states do more of the deciding about how much pollution they want to put out. But utility companies in Wisconsin and other states, prompted by their own concerns about climate change, coupled with pressure from their biggest corporate customers, are already investing in solar and wind technology. In fact, Wisconsin's two biggest energy companies have promised to reduce carbon emissions by 80% by 2050. This is twice as much as they were promising 2 years ago. I should also note that while wind and solar prices have come down significantly in the last decade, as Juliet said, the storage and delivery infrastructure is still pretty skeletal, which might affect cost in the near future. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talked to utility watchdog groups like the Citizen Utility Board in Madison, and Thomas Content, the executive director of the group, told the paper, the concern is, how does this go from plans to reality in a way that is economical and cost effective for homeowners and renters? Up next, we're going to be talking about the very Jobian effort to create an artificial heart, detailed in a new book that follows the quest of one pioneering heart surgeon. The story brings up questions of the cost of prolonging life, both morally and fiscally. We're taking your calls on this one. What do you think of artificial hearts and other medical technology? 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.